I came that they may have life and have it abundant.
Let the word go forth from this time and place to friend and foe alike, that the torch has been passed to a new generation of Americans.
We're going to win by being the people that other people want to be around. Society wants guys who have an answer, guys who are committed, men who have a plan to make things better and go out and do it.
You are listening to Night Vision.
Hello and welcome to Night Vision, a multi-platform audio magazine presented by the Indiana State Council of the Knights of Columbus, designed to enrich, enlighten, educate, and entertain. Today's show is all about keeping the faith in a time of social distance and uncertainty. So you finally learned how to Zoom. Now what? Coming up, State Treasurer Scott Schutte talks with radio host and author Bridget Eyre about evangelization in a time of social media. What impact is being forced by circumstance to remain physically distant having on our faith? Our online membership chairman, Walt Peha, talks with State Chaplain Father Mick. And finally, we step into the KFC series Into the Breach as we learn to embrace our suffering in these frightening and uncertain times. As more and more people are beginning to embrace social media platforms, State Treasurer Scott Schutte talks with radio host and author Bridget Eyre about evangelization in a time of social media.
Hi, everybody. This is Scott Schutte, Indiana State Treasurer. I'm joined today with Bridget Eyre, a local writer, as well as Catholic Radio Indy host of Faith in Action. Welcome, Bridget. How are you today?
Hey, I'm great. And thanks so much, Scott, for the invitation to be here and to talk to all your knights.
Wanted to talk today. Your book, which is Breaking New Ground, Discipleship Using New Media, Evangelization in the Third Millennium. Wanted to kind of focus on using social media to reach out to people and to share our Catholic values. What made you decide to write a book about evangelizing through social media?
Well, the answer to that, I kind of have three answers to that. The first one is I realize the potential for using digital media as a way to reach a lot of people, not just people in our families and maybe in our work, but also people that don't necessarily go to church that might be on our social media platforms. The reason I kind of got into it, I've always been into evangelization since my conversion in 1991. I was raised Catholic, but I had a conversion experience after going on at Christ Renews, and I really wanted to use my gifts in media. I had worked in media and public policy for most of my career, and I wanted to use those gifts to really evangelize. But before I wrote the book, I was really trying to survive in the world of media as all these new type of medias and digital media were emerging. I had to really learn about those just to stay in, you know, relevant in terms of consulting in media. And it was through that process that I really realized the great potential there was for evangelization and for sharing our Catholic values and the good news with really a hurting world that we live in right now. So that was really the main reason why I wrote the book, and really to help other people to learn just the basics so that they can use this tool to kind of advance the gospel.
What are some of the easier means for folks to reach out online or through social media and share things?
I think it depends. There really isn't an easy answer to that question. I think it depends who you really want to reach. I think you have to look at your audience. And once you kind of decide who you want to reach, then you can kind of look at how you want to reach them. Let's talk about, let's say, the Knights of Columbus. If you're talking about a group of people, you know, you already have your, whatever your means of communication are with the Knights of Columbus. So really, like with new media, you could look at different ways of enhancing or adding to the way that you're already communicating. So really, I think the easiest way is to look at who you want to communicate with, and then look at what options are available to communicate. So with digital media, like Twitter would be a good one for the Knights of Columbus, because that demographic is college-educated males, and it's a heavily male platform. a lot of people use it, but it's predominantly males. So that would be a platform that I think would be great for the Knights. I don't know if I answered your question, but that's probably what I was looking for.
Yeah. So what do you believe are the benefits of evangelizing via social media?
Well, really, all evangelization is about building an authentic relationship with someone. And through that relationship, of that authentic friendship of love and caring for individuals, then you share the gospel. And so really it's about relationship building. And with new media, with social media, with digital platforms, with, you know, YouTube and even Zoom and all these other digital platforms that we have, it's a way that we can really build on the relationships that we have. And one thing I learned from just being on my various social media platforms is that you can learn about things about people that maybe they wouldn't share with you, maybe in person or because of distance or whatever. You meet people, or you learn things about your regular friends, your real friends that you have in person. You learn more about them that maybe you wouldn't have learned in another, maybe a face-to-face relationship, because people can send pictures, they can post pictures of their family, they can share videos, they can share their struggles, things that maybe they wouldn't tell you, but they will put it online. It's kind of crazy what people will put online. But the other thing, not only can you reach your real friends and enhance those relationships, but you can have relationships with people that you may not have ever met, because these digital platforms allow you to get into various groups and meet people online that you would not have met otherwise. And also people that won't even step foot in a church. Like I just look at the people that are on my Facebook page as one platform, as an example. And a lot of those people don't know God, did not grow up Catholic, but I met them through professional, you know, or other ways besides church. So there's just so many opportunities and benefits to it. It doesn't really replace the in-person evangelization, but it allows other avenues for reaching people that maybe you wouldn't be able to reach because of time and distance.
You mentioned Twitter is kind of a professional males group. What are some of the other groups that you would suggest that reach out to men or in general?
YouTube, Facebook are, in general, the largest platforms for reaching the largest, most diverse audience. So those two platforms reach the largest audience in terms of age group, in terms of numbers of people. I believe it's like 90% of people use YouTube in all age groups, okay? For all different reasons. Twitter and LinkedIn, I would say, are probably the two best for men, if you're really, really wanting to target those groups. But YouTube is also great too. I think in terms of reaching, for instance, with the Knights of Columbus, it might be good to ask your members, what platforms are they on? You know, because you might be able to find out more information about how your members would want to receive communication. So I think we can look at all these statistics of what the generalities are, and I think those are valuable. But sometimes you just need to ask your members, or depending on who you're trying to reach, find out what they want to use or what platform they're comfortable with. So it kind of goes two ways with that. But Twitter in general, you know, there's only a certain number of characters, so that's why I think guys like it, because it's very, you know, to the point.
I've got one last question for you.
Okay.
Could you provide some guideline for members that want to get into this type of evangelism? You know, what things to do, what things to avoid?
Well, in chapter 8 of my book, I have a whole chapter devoted to that topic, and I have 8 tips for digital discipleship. And really, my book in general does give everyone an overlay, and that's really why I wrote it, so people could have a go-to resource. But in general, I would say you really need to just share the truth in love. You just need to develop authentic friendships, and really you're just extending what you're doing in terms of evangelization with an online audience. So in a way, it's not really anything new. It's just using a different tool. And I will say that if you do put yourself out there on social media, I mean, you are going to get some pushback because not everybody likes what the Catholic Church teaches. So you're going to have some persecution, but I wouldn't allow that to deter you. And anybody can learn how to do this. It's not that hard to learn. There's a bit of a learning curve, but my advice would be just to kind of dive in.
Loved your book. It's a quick read. It's not too long. There's some nice questions for reflections after each chapter, which are some food for thought. Where could we get copies of your book if people really want to get after it and read what you suggest?
Well, really, there's two ways to get the book. Amazon, just go to Amazon, Google my name, Bridget Curtis Ayer, and the book will come right up. The cover has a globe on it with a cell phone. So if you go by the title, Breaking New Ground, a lot of books will come up. But mine has the globe with the cell phone on it. But the best way is to go to Amazon and type in my name, Bridget, B-R-I-G-I-D, Curtis, C-U-R-T-I-S, Ayer, A-Y-E-R, and it should come up. And you can always go to my webpage, which is www.allaboutthegrace.com.
Well, Bridget, thank you so much for taking the time to meet with me today and discuss your book and some options in social media evangelization.
Thanks for the opportunity, Scott. God bless you in the night.
And now Walt Peja sits down with Father Mick to discuss how social distancing is impacting our faith.
Everything has changed now.
Right.
Because it's all, you know, trying to keep things close at a distance.
Mm-hmm.
I guess one of the questions that I've got is, how do we simplify what's going on right now and really distill it down to when we are spending time, so we get online and spend it with you. We get online and spend it with our own pastor. We watch it on TV, so we're on EWTN, watching Mass on EWTN.
Sure.
What do you think is going to be the easiest way to close that electronic gap so that we are more intimately involved?
Right.
And closer to what's going on, even though we have this virtual and real distance?
Right. I think that the context of this to help people out best would probably be starting with recognizing this old ancient term called the domus ecclesiae, the church of the house, that even the members of the body of Christ in a particular family, in a particular home, are a sort of church. They're not the fullness expression of the church, of course. There's no bishop present, the Holy Father and such. But it is a church, because a church just literally means the assembly of believers united in Christ. And Christ promised where two or more are gathered in his name, there he would be in their midst. And so we have to start with recognizing that the home is also a place where the church gathers. When I was a child, my parents were really good at that. There was a cross over every bed in every bedroom. We had May altars that we made for the Blessed Mother in the month of May. And on Good Friday, I always remembered that we were not allowed to talk or listen to music or TV between 12 and 3. Now, a lot of parents out there are saying, "Wow, I wish I could get my kids to do that." But yeah, we were not supposed to be, because Jesus was on the cross. And of course, we would go to the services when that started at our church, whatever time it was. But there was that sense of reverence in the house, that this is a very different time. This is a time when we are engaged in uniting ourselves with Christ Jesus, who out of love for us offered himself on the cross. And so I don't think it's a foreign concept. It's too difficult for most families to say, okay, this is a time that things are going to be a little different in our homes. Whether it's just that time when we actually participate in Mass through technology or whatever it is, there can be this time we say, okay, this time is going to be a little different. We're going to prepare ourselves the same way we prepare ourselves when we go to church on Sunday. We're going to stop. We're going to turn everything off. We're going to turn off the cell phones and the TVs and everything else. And we're going to take a moment to prepare ourselves. Father's going to be starting Mass in a couple minutes, and we're going to engage in it. I was talking to an adult the other day, and he asked me the question, you know, am I supposed to sit and stand and kneel when I watch Mass on TV? And I said, well, I said, here's the thing. Every time you watch Mass on TV, you're, to a degree, participating in the Eucharist. Okay, you're not fully like you are when you come to church and receive the sacrament, but you're participating in the Eucharist. And I think the more we actively participate, the more we actually pay attention and not get distracted by other things, the more we actually even participate with our bodies in sitting and standing and kneeling, the more we're engaged in the Mass, the better the sacrifice we offer with Christ for whatever our intentions are that day. You know, so if I'm thinking I want to pray today for my aunt who died, the better I participate listening, singing, responding, even with my bodily postures, the better I can participate, the greater the sacrifice I offer for the intention of my aunt.
And finally, we enter Into the Breach, a call to battle for Catholic men which urges them to embrace wholeheartedly masculine virtues in a world in crisis. The entire series is available for viewing at kfc.org.
There's something about evil that we just, on this side of eternity, we're not going to fully understand. Sometimes the answer is, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
Suffering is often misunderstood. It can easily move us to selfishness or being so focused on ourselves that we can't think of others. And it is a challenge for anyone who suffers.
To teach men what it really means to love, I will have people look at a crucifix and see Jesus hanging there. I'll say, look at his hands.
As Christians, we talk about the cross, but when it becomes real in our lives, when there's real suffering, that's a particular place in the spiritual life. It's the center of the battle. Fear, doubt, despair, uneasiness. But when we live it and embrace it and let Jesus into it, there is a strength there that stabilizes us. And what the cross says, there is nothing the world has that overcomes his presence in our lives. God's answer to our suffering is himself. That's his answer. Jesus coming among us, taking the sin of the world upon himself, dying for it, and rising to new life.
A lot of men only live 35-40% of their life. The other 60%, what do? Just put up with life. Because they're not having a great day. They're not getting what they want. They're sick, they didn't get the raise, whatever, they're suffering. They're just sort of putting up with it. I think if a man understands Jesus and understands redemptive suffering, a man will realize that I can live 100% of my life.
It's virtue that comes from suffering. What kind of virtue? Patience, fortitude, humility, compassion, wisdom, understanding, the ability to love. Now, if we're just going through life serving our best interests, we never learn how to love. Anytime we serve each other, we are suffering in a way, giving up our time, giving up our focus and energy for someone else. We are then gaining virtue. It's like a boot camp for the soul.
And we see this in people who accept suffering and embrace it in union with Christ. And if we just take the time to notice people in our life who do that, who embrace suffering with meaning and with courage, I think we'll see ourselves and be inspired ourselves to try to do the same.
We often don't want to ask why when there's sufferings. Why this death? Why this illness, this cancer, or whatever it is? My encouragement in that suffering is to invite Jesus into it and let him show us the answer. Jesus, come into this suffering. Jesus, come into it and you walk me through. You walk me to the solution.
Maggie, from the time she was born, was full of life. She was always so excited about her faith, but it was a childlike faith. Our daughter, Gabrielle, got sick. We knew, just in our experience of having five children, that if one gets sick, everybody's eventually going to get sick. But after a full week went by, we were a little concerned about Magdalene because everybody had gotten better except for her. She was vomiting, and she was losing quite a bit of weight, and she was also having headaches. My wife called me at 3 o'clock, pretty hysterical. She said, Maggie blacked out. And as I'm About 10 minutes away from the hospital, I'm crying out to God, and I'm saying to him, God, if my daughter dies tonight, I will never surrender my faith. Christ is risen. I got to the hospital, and immediately you see our daughter. She is non-responsive. And when the neurosurgeon comes back, he has a very concerned look on his face, and he tells us that she has a very large mass and that it's outgrowing itself and it's bleeding, that they have to drill a hole in her head to relieve the pressure. So Father anointed her with the sacrament of the anointing of the sick, a great gift given to us by the Lord. And then we prayed a Divine Mercy chaplet together. It was very much an agony in the garden. Take this cup from me. And I stood at my daughter's side and I just cried. Because my little princess was going to die. So I gathered everybody in the room and I said to everybody as I stood there with my missile open, the devil waves a gun around that has no bullets. And there is no victory for the devil here. What you're looking at here is a trophy of the kingdom of God. And then I led everybody in the recitation of the Gloria Excelsis Deo. And in that moment when my daughter was dying, that's how I chose. That's how the Spirit led me to face that reality with worship of the Triune God. It took 27 and a half hours from the time she was awake to the time she breathed her last breath. I thought that I would be the one to show my children how to die like a Christian. And instead, the child shows me how to die. I think the lasting gift that Maggie has left to us is the gift of supernatural joy, that as we live this life, we are to smile. And so when my daughter passed, the Holy Spirit supernaturally took over me and my wife. When the crucifixion of Jesus manifests itself in your life, the devil will be there to say, see, he's dead. And our response has to be, no, he's not. Christ is risen indeed. In the midst of suffering, you worship God. And that's the way in which you embrace your suffering. And as you embrace that suffering, it makes you stronger. Jesus has given to all of us our own cross. We each have our own cross. But our suffering is not without purpose. Jesus' suffering was not just arbitrary suffering. It was not random suffering. There was a very specific purpose to his suffering. It was redemptive. And so our suffering, if we embrace it, it shares in that meaning and that purpose. My daughter, she lived a life that was wisely designed by an all-wise God. He took her in such a way that he would be glorified. If I were not to tell people that, it would be like putting a lamp under a basket. The 10 years of my daughter and the way in which she died is the workmanship of an all-good God. And I think that my daughter's death and the death of all of God's people, it says that to the world.
Suffering is the way the world was redeemed. Jesus took on human flesh through the Virgin Mary in order to die for us on the cross. So suffering has deep, deep meaning. Deep, deep meaning. And if we discover that through the great gift of our faith, it puts us in a position to help others discover the value of suffering.
Suffering is difficult, but what the message of the cross communicates is a kind of love that is ready to give everything unto death, all the way including suffering. And if that's the plan that God has enacted and unfolded on our behalf to offer himself through the suffering of the cross, then that opens up a new path for all of us. See a possibility of uniting yourself to Christ with a readiness to suffer. And now your suffering isn't meaningless. It's still painful, but now in a certain way, it's encompassed within and given over to the mystery of God's redemption.
When Jesus says, come and follow me, he's saying, leave everything behind and know that, you know what, you're going to go through hardships. You're going to go through persecutions. You're going to go through insults. So for me as a Catholic and as a Christian, I know I didn't become a follower of Jesus to get a get-out-of-hell-free card or a happy Jesus pass through life. I know that as a follower of Jesus, like, I became a follower because I fell in love. I fell in love with Christ. And I know sometimes that's going to mean carrying my cross. When we suffer, we can identify with Christ because he suffered for us. So when I suffer, when I go through hard times, I feel like I'm closest with Christ.
Christ suffered immensely, so he's redeemed it, which means that suffering now, good can come from suffering, and the Lord allows good. The Lord draws good from that. Suffering can teach us to be detached from our will. It gives us an opportunity to say, Lord, I don't like this. This is not fun, but I trust in you, and I know that you're going to bring good from this. So I'm surrendering my will to yours. The other way that suffering can help us is by detaching us from things. It helps us understand what is the most important thing in life. It allows us an opportunity to let our will be unified to God's will, right? Which is significant when we talk about ultimately our call is to love, right? No greater thing is this than a man who lays down his life for his friends.
Archbishop Fulton Sheen said one of the reasons that we are so afraid of suffering is that we don't practice for it. The reason that we are afraid of dying is we don't practice for it. If the only time that you're going to experience dying is on that final day, it will scare the life out of you. But if you have been practicing all these years, buffeting your body, dying to yourself on a daily basis, putting your family first, when you get ready to take those last breaths, been there, done this. You have lived a life of sacrifice. And one of the greatest fears that men have is the fear of death. But for us, it will be the victory, because the greatest victory we have known in the world was the cross, and a man can be triumphant if he knows what to do with his suffering.
Night Vision is a presentation of the Indiana State Council of the Knights of Columbus and Catholic Radio Indy. Contributors for this episode include Scott Schutte, Walt Peja, David Negret, and Bob Zielinski. Night Vision is produced by Z Media Studios in South Bend, Indiana.